we'll start on heart meditations. We'll do that this evening. And you've probably done enough meditations so you know the chakras. So you know some basic spirituality, so on. So I'll go into a little bit more advanced level. Now, with the heart, of course, it's the most powerful, infinite, complex chakra in your body. The amount of energy your heart chakra can hold is enormous. If you had even just a bit more heart chakra energy as a spark of God, imagine the heart chakra of God, however you see God, and that infinite level of love, knowingness, self, and you had just a little bit of that more in your heart from God, most people would get a heart attack. The heart can't handle such a big surge of energy. But we'll do what we can. So just a kind of disclaimer, if you start getting chest pains, chest tightness, palpitations, shortness of breath, anything like that, you can go to casualty. There you won't find anything, and they'll discharge you. You might need an ECG and cardiac enzymes just to exclude acute angina. No, I'm serious. No, and if you get chest pain or chest tightness, that will be a healthy sign that the meditations have worked. If you don't get anything in your heart, no sensations or symptoms, you're either really so advanced that you can transform the blocks without any physical sensations, or you haven't done the meditations. You weren't listening. Okay. So on that level, don't worry about it if you do get chest pain. It's a natural consequence of the meditations. That's right. I mean, I remember I was having chest pain, tightness for about 3 years daily, you know, for a while. There was a phase. And it's fine. I never told anyone. But if someone else had that level of pain, they would have gone to casualty. So, okay, the first thing I want to do is when people die, there's a lot of stuff in the heart that activates in your awareness in the afterlife. The afterlife is when you wake up to your soul and you live the life of your soul more purely than, of course, when you're living, because when you're living, you're functioning at the personality level. So what you can do is see what things are like in your afterlife while you're alive, and you start getting a bit more of a soul perspective. You can look ahead, you see. And one thing that's happening more and more is that you will start seeing what other people felt or thought or how they saw about you. It's no longer your personal life that you will be reviewing or seeing in your afterlife. You know how people say they had a near-death experience and then my whole life flashed before me, they'll say, when they came back. Well, no more will that happen. As you develop more and more, you'll see other people's lives who were connected to you flashing before you and how you affected them. And you will see how other people's lives, how they saw your life. And it will be, you know, it can actually activate a lot of schizoid sense of depersonalization, of not knowing whose life you're looking at. Of course, how is this increasing in terms of the world of IT? Social networking, Facebook, people are sharing lives, Twitter. So really, whose belief systems have you got? Whose experiences, whose life experiences? They're not just your own. So that means the hurts and the wounds, and there's all kinds of armor around most people, defenses, because they're defending their heart from the hurts they've had, the wounds, the abandonments, the sacrifices they've made, the broken hearts, the unrequited love. That's when you wanted love and you didn't receive it from this or that person. Well, in the afterlife, you'll start looking at other people's hurts that you've created or set up or been involved with, their unrequited love, their abandonment issues, how you've been connected to them, or other people's broken hearts that you feel you're responsible for. Similarly, you'll feel other, you know, you'll feel shared pain. And that can actually be very uncomfortable because a part of you will feel you don't know how to let go of someone else's pain because it's their pain. You have to kind of wait for them to be ready to let it go. So what we'll do in this first meditation is look at what shared pain you have in your heart. Because you have it, you just weren't aware of it. Probably over 2/3 of the pain in your heart right now that's buried is not your own. So including the pain of your mum or dad, say, your parents, your ancestors, people you've known that you've connected to.
So how can you work with this if you can't let it go either? Pause and join.
Well, the first thing is to identify it, and then the second thing is to suffer, and the third thing, you get shown how to let it go. And you get shown because your ego gets stronger. The stronger your sense of self, the more you realise it's someone else's stuff. And then you kind of get to another level where you can heal that connection. And you do all kinds of stuff. You forgive yourself, you forgive others. And you activate Christ consciousness, which is nothing to do with Christianity. It's the ability to recognize that everyone has a path and everyone is part of God and that you totally honor someone else's journey without needing to take it on. And yet also you see someone else's journey intimately, you know, how they relate to you. Okay. So let's do this one, and I'll guide you through it. And don't worry, if you feel pain, just breathe. So, visualize then you're in a bubble of light. And just spend a minute or two just monitoring your breath, being still in your chair, just relaxing into the moment. Recognizing you are here in this moment. And becoming aware of what your heart feels inside your body, even on a very physical level, but also whether you feel your heart is emotionally balanced. Now imagine that you're in a stadium, like Wembley Stadium or a large sports stadium. It's a stadium in the spiritual sense. It is all around you. In this spiritual stadium, you can invite every person who you have been linked to in any way through your heart. Could be family, friends, loved ones, intimate relationships. Ask that all these people are now in your stadium. Visualize your heart in the center of the stadium, as if it's almost outside of your body. And next to your heart is a bonfire of purification, burning brightly. into that fire, release out of your heart all your hurts and wounds. Any time you felt hurt or emotionally wounded in this life or any life. As that happens, become aware or notice or imagine that anyone who is connected to your hurt is also releasing it and also giving you permission now to let go of shared hurts. Out of your heart, imagine now throwing out all unrequited love, all the times that you wanted love but never received it. Projecting to all the people in the stadium at the same time that they no longer owe you. No longer owe you any love. You've released them. Throwing out of your heart all abandonments, every experience of abandonment you've ever had. And begin to see that no one ever really abandoned you. It was you who had abandoned yourself. Into that bonfire, throw all your broken hearts. Every time your heart was broken, and invite everyone who was connected to you then to also let go their part of the broken heart. thank everyone for having been present in the stadium. As all the souls now drift away onto their lives, wherever they are, the stadium image collapses. And that bonfire, imagine it internalizes or enters your heart, back into your chest, so that that bonfire is always burning, burning inside you. A fire of constant transformation. Giving you all the extra courage you need to keep letting go. Temple related meditations for the heart and the body in sense. Now, throughout history, you know, mankind, womankind, humanity has always been in a temple at some point. Temples get built. And throughout history and culture, being inside a temple, whatever form, was allowing you to receive blueprints in the temple that would then go into your physical body. You might not see them, but there are blueprints in any meaningful temple, whether it's called a church, a cathedral, or a cave temple. And these blueprints stay inside your physical etheric body or energy field and go into future lives as well. So in a way, temples are a way of writing the blueprints in your body. And they add a level of higher meaning. So ultimately, your body can then, into a future life, become a temple. You carry the temple within you. You've probably heard of that phrase, you know, the body is a temple for the spirit. And that's one of the purpose of evolution, to house your spirit in the perfect kind of form, as in make your body a suitable vehicle for spirit, for your higher self. So if we look at three stages of the temple architecture over the last, you know, couple of thousand years, we'll go to Romanesque, Gothic and Baroque, and we'll internalize them into the body anatomy. And the Romanesque temple, Romanesque means there was a dome principle. So this was classic Greek and Roman architecture and many temples where they have a big dome. And that dome is just got, you know, columns on the periphery, but when you're inside, you're just in a big space.
Like St. Paul's.
Like, you know, cathedrals have an area where there's just a dome. That's why, like St. Paul's, St. Peter's and so on. What the dome does, that Romanesque element, is it goes into your skull, into your head, which is a dome. And this is real. These are real forces. And what do you feel when you're in that area of a dome? You feel it in the air, if you're psychic enough, and that is spirit, rich in spirit, but also stillness. You get this appreciation of how still the air is, at a subtle level, the vibrational air. And as you bring that into your head, it stills your mind. It gives you a deep sense of self in your sense in your mind and a stilling of your thoughts. So we're going to bring that in there. The Gothic architecture is characterized by lots of columns with ridges and arches like that. And that's classic Gothic cathedrals, French, you know, some in English. And you've all probably seen it, lots of arches. And what do they, you know, look like? They look like the rib cages. And Gothic architecture blueprints, when you're in one, goes into your chest, into your rib cage, that goes into your heart chakra, and it provides a suitable home for your soul to feel your chest. So we're going to use Gothic architecture to rewrite your ribcage. And then the Baroque is architecture which is full of treasures, gold, stained glass windows, lots of colours and splashes. Good examples are Rosalind Chapel, Santiago de Compostela. You see lots of icons and images. That energy goes into your metabolism, into your belly, into your liver, which is constantly having to deal with lots of, you can't see them, but with lots of forces in the nature kingdom, in the etheric realm. We're going to bring those forces in there. And those forces activate what's called the grail. And you don't need to remember know all this, just the grail is the energy of the earth itself, of nature, that you then digest in your body and you rewrite your blood. So let's do those and see where it takes you. The focus is still on the heart. So visualize now, again in your body, in a cocoon of light. But imagine that you've had other lives as well as this one, and you've got lives in the future. And you've spent time in temples. So in your body are the memories and the blueprints of the experiences you've had in various temples, even if you were just sitting in prayer. Something changed in your body. So ask to activate all the temple blueprints that are currently in your head from being in Romanesque temples, from being inside a dome, a sacred dome. You can just imagine you're in one now. Feel the stilling and the peace entering your head. Start imagining your rib cage and sense that you've also spent time in Gothic temples. Ask to activate the temple codes in your chest, imagining the ribs are the arches of a temple, and therefore your heart is inside that temple. Try to imagine music. Music is also playing, sacred music, in your temple. imagining the flowing fluids, the lymph, the bile and the blood all swirling and moving in your abdomen and pelvis, the rich life force in your belly. Imagine you are, that in there are the blueprints of Baroque temples, churches. Just visualize sacred images, icons, colors, sounds, fragrances from temples in your belly. Visualize your feet on the ground to ground you as you gradually come back. And we're focused on the energy of love. And of course, love at a higher level, because to God and from God to you. You know, one of the highest, you know, capacities for love would be from God. So the principle I want to activate here is that there's a loop of energy between you and God. So if you can love God at greater levels, God can love you back. You know, it's a positive feedback loop, which is of course why people, when they're angry or afraid, or, you know, somehow limited in their capacity to love, it's not... other people, it's their capacity to love God and to love life that they're limiting, and therefore they will receive less. So it becomes a positive feedback loop of reinforcement that they cannot receive love. But really, first, you know, it's about honoring God. Now, what, it's not just love, but also praise. Imagining that you are praising God or worshipping God inside your heart all the time, and thanking God and all the rest of it, and surrendering to God. So all these qualities try to build into your heart like your heart is in a shrine. And let's see how much positive feedback loop God's love can create into your heart through this meditation. And it's very important to realize that your love is, it seems like a small amount of love, and you think, God, how can he notice, or God, I'm just a little person on a small planet somewhere. But it's an infinite, capacity. God can sense all the little loves in your hearts. Okay, so we'll do this one. So again, visualizing now, you're in your heart. But you're going to get a sense of how open your heart is. Open, not just horizontally to the world, to other people, but open vertically to God, to the spiritual world above. So you can imagine in your heart as if you are opening it like a flower, or with outstretched hands, or like a cup. But whatever image you have, imagine your heart opening up, upwards, and radiating and projecting devotional love to God. You do not know what that would feel like. Just think it. Just say, I love God from my heart. The words will enter your heart. But notice that what you project must be unconditional, not based on any demands from God, not based on anything you want back. Just a pure surrender. And stay in that space as you wait for the response from God. To get a sense of God's message of love, that your love must be unconditional. And that includes love you give to anyone. So try to imagine or feel whether the love in your heart to others and to God is truly unconditional, or is it based on conditions, on needs and wants? And say to yourself in your heart, I activate full unconditional love from now on. Sensing your feet on the ground as you come back. Let's see how far we can drag this session out. So let's go on to the next one, which is going a bit physiological. And for some of you who know the anatomy of the heart, this should be a piece of cake, but as you, the blood going into the right side of your heart is coming up the veins, okay? The veins are returning the blood into the right side of your heart from all over your body. And you have about well over 70% of your blood volume is in your veins. The veins make up most of your blood compartment. And esoterically, spiritually, the vein blood holds the experiences and memories of your body, what you've been doing, and including your past lives and so on. And the blood in your veins, it depends on how evolved people are, that blood is usually thick, and thick as in we're dense. The more memory someone has, the heavier their venous blood is, and the thicker it is. I mean, obviously it's not treacle, but it can become, actually, it can solidify into clots, you know, like a deep vein thrombosis, when memories get too thick. On the other hand, if someone is able to let go of physical experiences that can include past, you know, hurts buried in their body, then if they let them go, the venous blood will get lighter. Now, as the venous blood enters the right side of your heart, the right atrium, the upper chamber, it is scanned, literally like a barcode, is scanned by your heart in a particular lump of nerve tissue called the SA node, or sinoatrial node. It's where the pacemaker is generated in your heart, to generate the heart rhythm. So you know the heart is pumping away, whatever, 70 odd beats a minute. That's a signal coming from this lump of nerve tissue, sorry, in your heart. And this SA node is constantly scanning your heart, your blood, sorry, coming in. So what we want to do in this meditation is see if your heart is able to read your blood properly. You literally imagine your heart is sensing the memories in your blood, reading it like that. People who find that hard to do are usually their outward life and their emotional life is one based on denial. They don't want to look at their memories. They bury things. There's too much stuff in their subconscious. They don't want to process stuff. Their heart is closed to their own blood. Now, when the blood leaves the right side of your heart, it goes to the lungs and you breathe out, of course, carbon dioxide waste. But it's not just carbon dioxide. You're breathing out experiences of your heart, of your blood. So your blood is actually getting lighter as it's passed through the lungs, lighter in vibration. And we'll scan the blood in your lungs to see if you are letting go, exhaling enough and making your blood lighter. If you're really sensitive, you'll start feeling angels hovering above your breath, seeing, showing you how much you're letting go. So the blood should get lighter, and then the blood returns and is oxygenated into the left side, and then it's pumped back into the body. But that force of contraction in the left side of your heart isn't just a muscle force, a muscle contraction, it's emotional force. Emotions, or what we would call the astral body, creates the contraction. It's not just a mechanical thing. That means if you are emotionally enthusiastic and you feel life is good and you have joy and you are ecstatic and you're always, you know, optimistic and joyful, then your heart leaves, your blood leaves the left side of the heart with literally enthusiasm, a sense of great, I'm entering my body, I'm going back into life. How many of you ever get up in the morning and, you know, or every now and then you feel, I can't take this anymore? All those emotions of flat, stress, apathy, lack of will, lack of enthusiasm, pessimism, depression, are all a sign that the left side of the heart is not contracting with enough enthusiasm for life. So it's a chicken and egg. You can actually change your heart and you'll change your life. Because if you project enthusiasm, That's what life gives you back. Happy experiences. If you project pessimism, you'll just get pessimism activating in your life, reinforcing it. So we'll do this technique to see, and use it to diagnose what's there as well. Okay, so again, imagining you're in your column of light, or bubble of light. So this time, just imagine you're in the right side of your heart, as if in the right side there are blood vessels going in. These are the great veins, bringing the blood back into the heart from the rest of your body. And visualize that blood entering the right side of your heart is heavy, maybe even bluish, heavy with memories and experiences, everything you've done in all your life and all your lives. Imagine there's a little person, your soul, in the right side of the heart, reading, scanning, or looking at all your blood memories. Does it feel as if that person, that part of your heart, feels grumpy, a bit depressed, the staleness or the depressing experiences of your life? Try to transform it into saying that you accept everything that's going on and that has happened in your life. Project acceptance into the right side of your heart. Acceptance of your life. Imagine that blood is being sent onto your lungs, and in your lungs it's rather like when you burn something in a bonfire and you see the smoke rising as the bits of paper are burnt away, the old writing, the old letters. Imagine you are breathing out the old memories out of your blood. Smoke rising. You may even sense angels appear above. They're going to receive your breath. sense and imagine your blood is getting lighter now and is taking on a fizzy quality. Now that blood is entered back into the left side of your heart, where it will be sent on into the rest of the body. Sense as if your hand is squeezing a bellows bag. Sense your heart is being squeezed, contracted to push that blood out. But the squeezing muscle contraction represents the strength of your emotions, of your emotional joy for life. Ask to see how much emotional joy or enthusiasm you have as your heart contracts. You grip life with enthusiasm. With total presence. Ground as you come back. Just to stabilize everything, imagine, of course, your soul. And you can imagine however you want to imagine your soul, as another you, just a white light, or as a loving being or something. But we're going to just, in this final meditation, open a door, as imagine your heart is like a home, open a door and let your soul enter your heart and live in it permanently, rather than thinking that your soul is up there somewhere. It's in your heart. So, visualize again. But now imagine your home, your heart is your home, is a home. And you can choose who enters your home. And of course, the main person living in your home should be your soul, living in your heart. So imagine through the meditations today, a door has been unlocked in your heart, as if your heart is like a home, a house, and the front door now, you've unlocked it and you can open it. hold that image or intention, invite your soul from the spiritual world to now fully enter your heart and take up its true home. Imagine inside your heart preparing rooms for your soul with furniture and chairs and bed. Really imagine that home. Complete, you can imagine in your internal dialogue, you're talking to the soul now in your heart. Ask it to give you a message. It may just be a simple message of one word. Something you need to know now. Intend that you will always have your soul now and in your heart.